Begin the current daf himself. This Yuma daf Yud. Begin two lines down from the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And as Rish Lakish told someone, it's a machlokes in the Gemara who that was, but he told him that Hashem hates you, and that was because the Babylonians, since that person came from Babel, did not come up to the Beis Hamikdash, to Yerushalayim, and to Eretz Yisrael by the times of Ezra when they were building the second Beis Hamikdash. And because of that, he said the Shechino did not rest with its full strength as it did in the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. When they came and told Rabbi Yochanan what he told them, Rabbi Yochanan said that's not correct. Even if all of Klal Yisrael would have came back from Babel in the times of Ezra, it still would not have been the same. And the reason why is because the first Beis Hamikdash was built by the children of Hashem. And that is a reference to Shlomo Melech. It says in the Pasuk of Yishkin Baal Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests His Shechina when it's built in the tents of Hashem. However, the second Beis Hamikdash that was built by Kairish, that was from the Persians, from the Parsiim, who they come from Yafes. So although it says Yafti Lekim LeYafes, that there will be beauty for Yafes, however, there will not be Yishkin, the divine presence will not fully rest. It's only rest Baal Hashem, and therefore that was only by the first Beis Hamikdash, in contrast to the second Beis Hamikdash, which was partly built with the permission and under the auspices of the Persians. And that comes from Yafes, which is only Yaft and not Yishkin. So that's where our Gemara continues and asks, Uparsoi Manolo de Miyafes Kosu. From where do we know that the Persians, whose Kairish is, and that's who was the one that was instrumental in building the second Beis Hamikdash, that came from Yefes, and that's why it wasn't the same type of a Shechina as it was by the first Beis Hamikdash, which was from the children of Hashem, in contrast to the second one, which was the Parsiim, which the Gemara had assumed is coming from Yefes. So where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, simply, it says the Pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. It says, B'nei Yefes, that the children of Yefes, that was, there were three children, from them the entire world came after the Mabel, Noach had three sons, which was Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And these three sons populated the entire world. So the sons of Yefes are Gomer, Umagog, Umadai, V'Yavon, V'Suvol, Umeshech, V'Siris. Now the Gemara explains who are these seven sons that from them came all the different countries that were in the world. So the Gemara explains Gomer, Ze Germania. Now the Vilna Gaon has a girsa that says Germania, that's a reference to Germany, to that area that's there by the Rhineland. That's the area of Gomer. Magog, Zu Candia. Madai, so the girsa is changed as the Bach is Magia from Zum Macedonia, which is the next one. Rather, Kemashmoi. Madai is as one of the four main Goliaths that was in Madai. That's Paras and Madai. So that's Median. That's as the name itself was. Yavan, the Greeks, that the girsa is changed to, not from Kemashmoi, from rather Zum Macedonia. That's a reference to Macedonia. That's as is known from Alexander the Great. That was the Greeks. And these are all coming from Yefes. Tuvol, Zebes Unaiki, Meshech, Zu Musya, this is Musya, Tiros, so Pligibor Reb Simon Rabbanon, there we have a machlekes by that son, Vamrila, and some say it was a machlekes Reb Simon Rabbanon, that is Chadam, and one says Zu Beis Teraiki, Chadam, one says Zu Paras, and Tan Rav Yisro actually learned in the Brisa that Tiras, Zu Paras, so we find that Tiras, who is one of the sons of Yefes, is Paras, which is Persia, and therefore Kairish, who helped build the second Beis Hamikdash, who was from Paras, that comes from Yefes, and that is why Rabbi Yochanan told him, even if everyone would have came together in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, that the complete divine presence would not have been anyway, because it wasn't built by Shem, by the children of Shem, which is Shlemach, by the Jewish people, but rather by Kairish, who is from the children of Yefes. Now the Gemara continues and quotes a pasuk in Bereishis, so that was from the children of Yefes. Then the other two sons were Shem, which is the ancestors of the Jewish people. And then as the pasuk begins, Uvnei Kush, which those are the Kushites, which generally populated Africa and that area. So from the sons of Kush, it says, Wasavta, Verama, and Vesavtucha. Out of the sons, the Gemara picks those three sons. On that time, Rabbi Yosef, told in the Braisa that Sakistan Gavaisa, there was an outer Sakistan, the Sakistan, inner Sakistan, and the Sakistan, and there was an outer Sakistan. And that is, this is going on Savta and Savtcha, which the names are very similar. And the reason was because it was really the same area. There was an area that was surrounded by mountains, and the outer area surrounded the inner area. And the distance, the inner from the outer one on all sides, was Ben Chadda L'Chadda Meir Parsi. There was a distance between them of 100 Parsi. The Hakefa and the outer one surrounded the Alpha Parsi by an area of 1,000 Parsi. And that's why, since it has similar names, was because it really was the same area. There was an inner Sakistan and an outer Sakistan. Now related, it says over there a few psukim later, Fatihi Reishis Mamlachte, that the beginning of his kingdom, that of Nimrod Harasha, was Bavel, the Erech, va'akad v'chalnei. So the Gemara explains, what are these areas, what are these places? So Babel is Kamashma, that's as its name is, which is the Babylonian area, which is Babylon. Erech ze Arichis, v'achad ze Baskar, chalnei ze Neufeninfi. Now it says over there in that pasuk, min ha'aretz hahi yatza Asher, that from that land, that's where Asher went away from, which is because he didn't want to be there by the council of the Der HaFlaga, which is when Nimrod was trying to have the world rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were building the Tower of Babel. So Asher, he left, didn't want to be part of this. So turn of Yosef taught, quote a brisa that Asher ze Silak. Who is Asher? That's a reference to Silak. Now it says over there that Asher went out, but even as Nineveh, and he went and he built Nineveh, vers Chavis Ir, and Chavis Ir, vers Kalach. So what are these three places? So Nineveh, Kimashmai, there's a famous city of Nineveh, which is known from the story of Yaina. Rechavis Ir is Zuparas de Meshan, that's the Paras of Meshan. And Kalach Zuparas de Vursuf. Now it says over there in the Pasuk, the Esresin and Resin was Bein Nineveh uvein Kalach. And here, Yer Gedolah, that's the great big city. So that the Gemara explains that Resin, Ze Aktisvon, that's a reference to the area called as Aktisvon. Now when it says here, Yer Gedolah, it was the great city. So on that, in Yedea, in Nineveh, Yer Gedolah, I don't know if when it's saying it's the great city, because the Pasuk is saying that it was that when he built the city, so it says that he had the Resin was between Nineveh and Kalach, and it was the great city. What's it going back on? So I don't know if it's a reference to Nineveh or Imresin or Yer Gedolah, or if it's going back on Resin, which is saying, told my Resin that it's situated between these two places, it's the great city. So which one is a reference to? However, Kishwam, when it says a pasuk in Yoina that says, Nineveh hoisi Yer Gedolah l'kim, that Nineveh was a great big city for God, Mahalach Shalish Yamim, an area of that takes 3 days to walk, have a Imer, so from there you can learn out that Nineveh Yer Gedolah, it says the same terminology there and here to show that it was Nineveh that was the great city, although it was talking about the location of Resin, but when it's saying it was between, one of the places that was between was Nineveh, that's what Yer Gedolah was going on, not on Resin, but rather on Nineveh. Now, once the Gemara was talking about the different drushes of the names of these individuals that lived in the beginning of the creation, so now it explains the other following names, which is brought in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, which talks about the Vayalu Banegev, Vayoveh at Hebron, when they came to spy out Eretz Yisrael. So it says they came to the south, and they came to Hebron. And then it says, Visham, and over there they saw, Achiman was Achiman, Sheshai, Vesalmai, Yilidi Hanok, these were the children of the giant. So in that Tana we learned in the Braisa that Achiman, why was it called Achiman? Because it's a contraction of Miyumin Sheba'achim. He was the right, which always means the strongest and the most powerful of the brothers. That's Achei, the brother, Mun, which is from the word Yuman, which is the strongest of the brothers. Now Sheshai, which comes from the root word of Hashes, which means to destroy and ravage, is Shemesim es ha'aretz kashchisus, and that is he made the land like ruins. And that's with his steps, he would ruin it. That's one interpretation, as Rashi brings over here, that it's a term of Hashes. Rashi in Saitis says that closer to the sounding of the word of Sheshai is the term Shesh, like Amudei Shesh, which are pillars of marble, which are very heavy, and therefore you recognize the place where that pillar was. So to where he stepped, you were able to see because he made his prints in the ground because of his great might. Talmai, why was it called Talmai? Shemesim es ha'aretz t'lam t'lam, because he made the ground into rows of furrows, again, because of the great might and the power and the weight that were by these great giants. Now, the Gemara says, Davar Achar, another interpretation, which Rashi says, we're not Gerises, because it's not another interpretation of the names, rather it says something related to what they had done. So it says, Achemon bana Anos, he built Anos. Sheshai bana Olosh, he built Olosh. Talmai bana Talbush. Now, when it says Yilidi Hanok, going back to interpreting the drush on the names, so it says that they were the children of the giant. So the drush is Shemanikin Hachama Bekemasin, that they wore the sun, so to speak, like a necklace because of their great height. And that is, it looked like their neck was piercing the sky, and as if the sun was a necklace around their necks. That's how great and tall they were. So now the Gemara goes back to what we started off the daf with, talking about the Persians, and that we said that the second Beis Hamikdash was built by the Persians. So the Gemara will discuss related to that. Amrishu ben Levi Amir Rabbi, Asidur Raimi Shetibu Biyad Paras. Although the Roman exile, the Romans have the might and has been going on for a long time, they will ultimately fall into the hand of the Persians. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, L'chein shimu atzas Hashem. Therefore, listen to the counsel of Hashem. Asher yatz in the Girsa is not al, but rather el. Asher yatz el Edom that he has devised towards Edom, which is a reference to Esav, reference to Raimi. U'machshavayisav asher chashav el yeshvi Seman. And that his thoughts that he thought towards the dwellers of Teman, which also reference to the descendants of Esav. Im lo yischavum tz'iri hatzayin. If not that they should be dragged by the youngest of the sheep, which as the Gemara will demonstrate, that's a reference to Paras. So therefore, Edom and Raimi, all those, that they will be taken over by the Tzirat Tzayin, which is a reference to Paras. And that is, Im lo yashem aleim neveim, that if he will not destroy upon them their abodes, their dwelling places. So therefore you see that Paras, who is referenced by Tzirat Tzayin, will ultimately destroy Raimi. So Maskevel Rabbi Bar Ulo, he says, "My mashma the Tzirat Tzayin Paras." Who, from where do you see from the pasuk that Tzirat Tzayin is a reference to Paras? Because the Chassid says a pasuk in Daniel that you see that the flock, the sheep, the cat, the it says in the pasuk in Daniel, Ha'ayil Asharisa, the ram that you saw. So you see that Paras is called a ram because it says Balakranaim, that was the ones of the horns, Malchei Madu Paras, the kings of Madu and Paras. So you see that Paras is referenced as a ayil. So when it talks about the Tzayin, it's a reference to Paras. However, the Gemara asks, "Beim Yavon." But let's say that Tzirat Tzayin to the flock, it's a reference to Greek, to Greece. The like it says a pasuk over there, "Vahatzafer hasayir," and that the he goat was Melech Yavon, the king of Yavon of the Greeks. And therefore, you could say that just as likely as Rome will be destroyed as by the Persians, it can be destroyed by the Greeks because they also reference in the term of the flock. So Kisalik Rav Chaviva Bar Simake, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he said in front of one of the Rabban over there, this question that Rabbi Ula had, that how do you know that's a reference to the Persians? Maybe it's a reference to the Greeks. So Amalei, he responded to him, he says, Mandala yada perushe kray. Someone that doesn't know how to interpret and translate Pesukim, Meisiv to Yuftal Rebbe, he's going to ask questions on Rebbe who had said this drush that it's going to be the Persians that are going to destroy the Romans. My Tzirat Tzayin, what does it mean, the young flock, the young sheep, Zutra da'achayhi, it means the youngest of the brothers. It's not just a reference from the Tzayin. You're right. Yavin could be included in the flock, but it says Tzirat Tzayin, the youngest of the flock, which means the youngest of the brothers. The Tanner of Yosef, like Yosef had quoted in the Brisa, as we mentioned in the beginning, Tiras Zeh Paras, and that's how we show that he was from the sons of Yefes, but who was the youngest of all the brothers was Tiras, and that's Paras. So it says Tzirat Tzayin, the youngest of the Tzayin. So that's a reference to the youngest of the brothers, a reference to Paras. They will ultimately destroy Edom, which is the ancestor of Raimi of Rome. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bachanam Rebechim Mishum Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Loi, Asid Raimi Shetiba Biyad Paras. He also says the same idea that the Romans will ultimately fall into the hands of the Persians. But he says a Kavochem, not from a pasuk, but he says you have to say this because Uma Mikdash Rishon Shebeno Bnei Shem. Because if the first base of Migdash that was built by the sons of Shem, in other words, Shlema Melech, Vichrevu Kazdim, and the Kazdim there's of the Babylonians, that's where the first Gaulis of the Chorban Bayis, we went for 7 years into Babel, they destroyed the first base of Migdash, and Naflu Kazdim Biat Persim, and ultimately the Babylonians fell in the hands of the Persians, and that's why it was Balshetzar, who was the king of Babel, he was from the Kazdim. He fell into the hands of Daryavish HaMadeh, of the Medians, and Kiresh, the Persian, who was his son-in-law, and that is why it was Kiresh ultimately built the second Beis HaMikdash, which was 70 years after the first Churban Bayis. So we see that the Parsiim destroyed the Kazdiim, who had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So if so, the Gemara says, Mikdash Sheni, Shebenu Parsiim. So if the second Beis HaMikdash that the Persians built, the Chivu Ramim, and the Romans destroyed it, it doesn't make sense that for sure the Persians will destroy the Romans. If the first Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, and then who destroyed it? Were the Kazdim, were the Babylonians, and the Persians went and took revenge and destroyed them and helped rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So ultimately, by the second one that the Persians built and the Romans destroyed, most definitely the Persians again will destroy the Romans to then go ahead and then ultimately this third Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So Rav said, Asid Parsha Tibu Biad Rami. However, Rav says that ultimately it's the other way around. The Persians will fall into the hands of the Romans. So Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asil Rav. So they both told Rav, which is similar to the logic we were saying till now, Benoi Biyat Suturi, the builders are going to fall into the hands of the destroyers. We said that it was the Persians that built the second Beis HaMikdash. The Romans were the ones that destroyed it. So the builders of the Beis HaMikdash are going to fall into the hands of the destroyers. So Amalahui said yes, in Gzeris Melechi, that's the decree from the king. So Ekadam, there are those that say, Amalahu, a different version, he told them, Inhu Nami Hokasasu Bekanishta. The Persians also destroyed many shuls, many batikanesias, and therefore they deserve to get destroyed. Similarly, although they built the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't complete, as we see that they destroyed the different shuls that there were, and therefore they fall into the hands of the Romans. Tanam Hokka, similar in the Braisim, Asida Parashatibu Yadrami. Ultimately, the Persians will fall into the hands of the Romans. Chada, one reason is Disasa Bekanishta, because they destroyed many shuls. But another reason is Gezeris Melechu, it's a decree of the king, Sheyiplu Boyin Biyat Saisen, yes, that those who built the second Beis HaMikdash will fall into the hands of those who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And related to this, that we see that ultimately it will be the Romans that will be the last one standing, and they will destroy the Persians, is Damar Yehuda Merav, Im Ben David Ba, Mashiach, the son of David, will not come, until the kingdom of Rome will take over the entire world, so therefore they're going to be the only ones, the ones that are ruling the entire world, for a period of 9 months. Shnemek says the pasuk in Micha, "Lachen yitnim." Therefore, he will give them ad es yuledi yulada, until the time it takes for a woman giving birth to give birth, which is a period of 9 months, and that's how long the Romans will rule the world. V'yeser echav Yeshua ben Albanesel, and then the rest of his brothers of Mashiach will return, but from the Jewish people, and then the geula of Mashiach will then come, but that will last for 9 months, and therefore that's the same idea that the Romans will take over the Persians, because they're going to be the only ones around for the last 9 months. So now the Gemara goes back to two dafim before, which we had been discussing, the Lishkas Parhedrin, that is the place where the Kohen Gadol separated 7 days before Yom Kippurim. So now the Gemara returns to that and says, Turn up on, Kol ha-lashachas shahayi b'mikdash, all the different chambers that were there in the base of Mikdash, lo ha-yilein mezuzah, as Gemara will explain later, there was no mezuzah on any one of the chambers. Chutz m'lishkas Parhedrin, there was one exception, and that was the chamber of the Parhedrin. And the reason is, related to our Mishnah, is shahayi b'beis diri l'kohen gadol, because there was a dwelling place, there was an apartment there, so to speak, for the Kohen Gadol, because he stayed there for 7 days before Yom Kippurim, and a place that has a beis dira is mechayev mezuzah, and that's why they had a mezuzah up there in that room. Amar Yehuda, Shabuda responded to the Tanna Kama. He says, "V'alei kama l'shachas hayi b'mikdash." There were many different chambers in the Beis HaMikdash for those that were there to watch the Beis HaMikdash and protect it, and they stayed there. Shahayi lahen beis dira, they had an apartment there where people would sleep. V'lo hayi lahen mezuzah, and yet there was no mezuzah on them. So therefore, if there was a beis dira, and you're saying that's the reason for being mechuyev in the mezuzah by the Lishkas Parhedrin, but there were many different chambers that were beis dira to dwelling places which fit into that category to be considered beis dira, and yet they had no mezuzah. Ella, rather, Behuda says, Lishkas Parhedrin gizera haisa. The reason why Lishkas Parhedrin had a mezuzah was only because of a decree, as the Gemara will later on explain, because that people shouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol is in jail for the 7 days, because there's no mezuzah, must be it's not an apartment, it's not a place where one dwells. Rather, he's locked up for 7 days. We don't want people to call it as such. Therefore, because of a gzir drabbanan, that gzir, because we don't want people to say that we made a mezuzah, but really, there is no chiv, because the fact that it's a base theory, see, it's not the case, because there are many base theories in the base of Mikdash that didn't have a mezuzah. So now the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Why is it that he holds that the Lishkas Parhedrin was not mechuyev midderaisa like the Tanna Kama because it was a beis dira? Rather, he says it was a gezerah, chayra, and it was a beis dira. He dwelled there, so it should be mechuyev mezuzah midderaisa, not because of a gezerah drabanan, that it shouldn't look like a jail. So in that Amar Rabba, the Gersa changes to Rabba, Ksav Reb Yehuda held that kol bayis shein osu lemaisa chama lemaisa ksham, any house that's not made to be utilized for the summer and for the winter, in a bais, it's not a house. And here he was only there for 7 days of the year. Therefore, it was a certain period of time. It wasn't meant for the entire year. And therefore, that's not considered a bais dira, and that's why it's not mechuyev mezuzah midderaisa. Again, only midderabanan from that gezerah. So Esav Abaye, Abaye asked on this interpretation of Rabba. But for Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Amos that says, V'hikesi bais achayif, I will destroy their winter homes, al bais achayis, together with their summer homes. So you see, that even if it's only summer or only winter home, it's considered a bias that he's saying that he's going to destroy, but you see that's a bias, and therefore it should be mechuyev mezuzah. And that amalei, so Rabbi responded, beis chayriv ubeis kayitz ikri. Yes, it's called a winter home and it's called a summer home, but bayis tam alei ikri. But it's not called with a generic term of bias of home. It's a different term and appellation that it might have, but it doesn't have the term of bias, and therefore that's why it's not mechuyev mezuzah midei raisa. So again, Eisav Abaye, Abaye asked from a mission Masechtas Maisos. It says over there that Sukkot Sachag B'chag, regarding a sukkah, which is a tent that we use on Sukkot, of Sukkot, on Sukkot, during the holiday, during the Yom Tov Sukkot. So Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Now what it's talking over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Maisos, he says that it's regarding the halachas of Maisim. And that is the halacha that Tevel, which is untied produce, which was just processed, which was not finished yet, it's not chayv in a meiser and have to taking off a tenth of the produce, of the grain, to be able to eat from it what's called nechilas arai, which is a temporary eating, not with a kavias. It's only usur when it goes into the entryway of the house. As says in the pasuk, bi'arti akudish b'nabayis, the chiyuv of meiser to eat it, that it will be forbidden even to eat it in nechilas of arai, is only when it went into the house. So on that, Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it just went into the sukkah on Sukkot, that is considered a bias, and therefore once the produce went in, you can't eat anymore an achilas aroi, because it's already considered established in the halachas of being mechuyev in meiser. The chum say that no, one is exempt. It's not considered like it went into the bias, because a sukkah on Sukkot is not a bias, and hence it's like the same halach as if before went in, which is one is still allowed to eat an achilas aroi without taking off ma'isim. Now, v'tanei lo Allah, we learned a braisa that expounded upon this mishnah Masechtas Maisos that said, not only is Rabbi Yehuda hold that you're chayiv regarding halachas of ma'isa, but Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv be'eriv, he holds that this sukkah is obligated in halachas of an eriv, and that is, if let's say this sukkah opens up to a courtyard that has other houses there, he will make it forbidden on all the other houses to carry in the schatzer, even though they all join together in Erev, if he doesn't join with them, as is the halacha of the halachas of Erev, that all the houses have to join, he considers it a house, even though it's just a sukkah. Ubi mezuzah. He also holds that this sukkah is mechuyev mezuzah, even though it was only made for the summertime, and not for the wintertime, meaning it was only made for sukkahs. Ubi meiser. And also, as we, that's the halacha that's taught within the Mishnah, Masechtas Maisos. And regarding the halacha of Maisos, that if it comes in, even in the state of Tevel, once it comes in, it's mechuyev now, the halacha of Maisos. So the question Abaye is asking on Rabbah, you see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda, who that's the opinion that we're discussing, holds that a sukkah will be considered a bias for the halacha of mezuzah, even though it's not made for chayrif inka, it's not made for the entire year, it's only made for a certain part of the year when you have your sukkah. So how could you say Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bias that's not for the entire year is not considered a bias, and that's why he held that the Lishkas Bahedrin was not mechuyev in a mezuzah, because it was only meant for 7 days out of the year. But why is that any different? Why is the Lishkas Bahedrin of 7 days a year different than Sukkot, which is only 7 days in the year, which is also only meant for a certain amount of time? And he holds that it is considered a bias to mechuyev in a mezuzah. It's not bias, says. Now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say to answer my question, then midrabanan. No, of course, it's just like we said about Lishkas Bahedrin. It's not mechuyev midei raisa. There's a rabbinic reason why we said you have to put on the mezuzah on the Lishkas Bahedrin, because we don't want him to look like he's in jail. So too over here, you're right, midei raisa is not mechuyev because it's only been 7 days out of the year. But midei rabbanan, we require that it should have mezuzah. Now, on that Abaye says, bishle me'eruv mezuzah ikal midrabanan. I understand there are three cases over there in that braisa. So regarding eruv, I could understand that you're saying that midrabanan, we considered this sukkah like a beis dira, and he has to be mishtatef in the eruv. I could understand the mezuzah too. You wanted to be concerned that we don't want anything to happen. We're being machmer, at least midrabanan, considering this sukkah like a bias, and you have to put up a mezuzah. Elamaiser miyikalem midrabanan. These all three cases are related. Now we're saying either a category of rabbanan or deraisa. How can you say that when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're chayiv, and one of them is Maiser, that's going to be Chayiv Maiser Midrabanan? You can't say that, as the Gemara says, as we continue on Talmud Beis, Dilma Asi La'afrushi Min Achiv Ala Pater. If you're considering this Maiser as a Chiv to separate, but again, it's only Midrabanan, now, that means that on a biblical level, it's still exempt. So you're taking something that's exempt from Maiser, then you might go ahead and take something that's from, you might separate from Chiv on Pater, and that is if you have something else that is biblically mechuyev that went into a real house, that's going to create problems, and similarly, Umanan Pater alachiyev. If you take from something that's exempt, which would be this case, on biblical level, it's exempt from Eiser, and you use it to separate alachiyev on something that's already mechuyev in deraisa, that will create problems, because that's us, as the halachas are taught elsewhere, that Meiser has to be from something that's mechuyev in Meiser on something that's mechuyev. If it's not, it's going to make everything tevel because it's not really functioning in the biblical status of what Meiser is. And therefore, although you would want to be machmer, but it wouldn't make sense to say with Ebn Rabbanan that you're creating a Meiser, because that would still be a problem of it being pater mideraisa. So again, although you could say it for Erev and you could say it for Mezuzah, but to say it for Meiser would be problematic. And therefore, it seems clear that the Braisa was not discussing rabbinic, because we don't want to make rabbinic meisers, because that means midaraisa it's still potter, and you can't go ahead and take that as meiser from something that's mechuyev midaraisa that actually went into a house, or the reverse. And therefore, if it's so midaraisa, so you see that Yehuda says that a sukkah that's only for 7 days out of the year is mechuyev in the mezuzah midaraisa, again, just like the case of meiser. And therefore, Abaye says that contradicts what Rabbi's teretz was, that he wanted to explain why Yehuda holds that yinam achoyim deraisa, because it's not the entire year. But you see clearly that from the case of sukkah, that it is achoyim mezuzah, even though it's not Abaye's for the entire year. So how do we understand the question that the Gemara originally asked? So why is it that Yehuda holds that the lishkas pahedin is not achoyim in the mezuzah deraisa if it is a base dira? So Eloma Abaye, rather Abaye gives a different teretz. He says b'shiva. During the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is separated and he is sequestered there in the Lishkas Bahedrin, the Kulam Aloy Pligi Demechayev. You're right. No one argues on that in that case during those 7 days that even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue that for sure you will be Chayev in the Mezuzah, just like the case of Sukkah. That yes, when the Sukkah is up for the 7 days of Sukkahs, when that is when he goes into the Sukkah. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda says you can be chayiv, and that's the same thing Rabbi Yehuda would agree in the case of the Lishkas Berhedrin, that one would be chayiv in the mezuzah. Ki peligi, when did he argue when we find Rabbi Yehuda says that you're pater from the mezuzah mederais? It's only gzeir drabonan. That was b'shayim ha'shashana. That was regarding the rest of the year. And that is Rabbanan savri gazrin shayim ha'shashana atur shiva. Rabbanan make a gzeir. They're concerned that, yes, although the chayiv is only during the 7 days that he's there, and the rest of the year he's not even there, but we say that we have to have the mezuzah up the entire year because or else we might not have it during those 7 days. So we're concerned. That's why you mechuyev to have it all year round. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, like as in Yehuda, we don't make such a gezeirah. We're not so concerned. Rather, the reason why the Lishkas Bahedrin, the rest of the year, requires the mezuzah is for a different reason. It's that everyone should know, and whenever they come by, even when the Kohen Gadol is not there, they see that it's like a regular apartment because it has a mezuzah over there, because we don't want them to say that the Kohen, oh, during the 7 days that is here, oh, that's where they usually put him. There's no mezuzah. Oh, it's like a jail. So that's why the entire year they leave it up. So essentially, both Rabban and Yehuda agree that the chiv would only be during the 7 days that he's there. And even Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that chiv, as we find by the case of the sukkah, that you're also mechuyev to have a mezuzah up there midday raisa. Their whole machlekes was regarding the rest of the year, and that is what is the reason why we have it up? Is it a gezer because of that we might not have it up during the 7 days? Or is it because we don't want people to say that it's some type of a jail and that he's in prison, and that's why we have it up for the rest of the year? And therefore it's not a contradiction, because of course he holds that you are mechuyev for those 7 days midiraisa. The whole discussion of Yehuda saying that it's part of midiraisa was talking about the rest of the year. So now on that pshat of Abaye, so Abaye had demonstrated doesn't like Rabbi's pshat. Now, Omalei Rabbi says regarding Abaye's pshat, how can you say this, that you said that everybody agrees that yes, the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is there, then he's going to be chayv midaraisa, just like we say by the sukkah, that for the 7 days that he's there, everyone agrees, which is the case of Yehuda, that you're going to be chayv, but v'asukkah sachag b'chaketani. In that braisa, we learned that in that Mishnah Masechtas Maaseis, it said that regarding the sukkah of sukkahs, of the Yomtov Sukkahs, on Sukkahs, on that we had the Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan said, you're going to be Potter. So obviously, that even during those 7 days, the Rabbanan say that you're exempt. And that is Abaye's assumption was, that no, they're not arguing on the 7 days. Everyone agrees during the 7 days that Yomchid Midei Raisa. And that's how he explained Rabbi Yehuda why he says that it's Chayv by the Sukkah, and therefore he would agree by the case of Lishkas Bahedrin. They only argued the rest of the year. But how could you say that? Because we see clearly that even a sukkah, which is for those 7 days that he's there, and yet still the Rabbanan say that you're potter. which would essentially mean that it would sound like that regarding the lishkas behedjin should be the same halacha. So how could Abaye say when it agrees by the case of when you're actually there? But we see Rabban hold that you're exempt in that type of case. So Elam Rava, rather, Rava says a different pshat. He says, it's similar but different, that b'shayi ma'isa shana, the rest of the year, kulam aloi pligi de b'tura. You're right, the rest of the year, no one argues that, of course, for sure you're going to be exempt. And that is, everyone agrees. Ki pligi b'shiva, to the contrary, when do they argue is during the 7 days, whether it be the 7 days of when the Kohen Gadol was in the Lishkas Behedrin, or whether it was the 7 days when they were in the Sukkah. Now, although that seems to be a contradiction in the sense of Rabbi Yehuda, who he's the one that says that you're putter, if we're only arguing, and that's what Abaye was trying to avoid, and Rav is saying, no, they argue during the 7 days. And that is, but how does that work out? By the case of Sukkot Zachag B'chag, on that Yehuda holds that you're going to be chayiv, which means in the 7 days that you're there. Yet, if we're arguing by the case of Lishkas B'hedrin during the 7 days, Rabbi Yehuda says that there you're going to be putter mid'oraisa. So that seems to contradict, and the same thing is reversed by the Rabbanan. If they're arguing regarding Lishkas B'hedrin, the 7 days that they're there, they're the one that say that over there you're chayim mid'oraisa, yet by Sukkot Zachag B'chag, which is the same, seems like the same type of case, for the Sukkah, that there they say you're going to be putter. So how do we understand that? So that the Gemara says, that's not a question, because the Sukkah time l'chud, the Lishka time l'chud. They each, although it seems to be the opposites of their opinions, it's because each case in its own context has a different reasoning applied to them, as the Gemara explains. Sukkah time l'chud, Sukkah has its own reasoning, and that is, Rabbi Huda that says by the case of Sukkah that actually you're going to be chayiv mid'oraisa for the 7 days, as we demonstrated before, it has to be mid'oraisa because we compare it to the case of Maestris and we wouldn't do that mid'rabbanan. So you're going to be chayiv mid'oraisa is because he goes according to his opinion, Dhamma, that he says, this is brought in himself to Sukkah, Nav Zainim and Beis, Sukkah diris kvabin. He holds that the Sukkah has to be an established building. And that's why he says a sukkah that's higher than 20 amas is kosher, which is only fit to be made only if it has walls that will be kavua, that will be fully, firmly established. And because he requires it has to be diris kava, so therefore he's obviously considering a sukkah as a bayis, as a full-fledged residence. And therefore, mechayiv mezuzah, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that mechayiv mezuzah by the case of sukkah. Now, if Rabban Tamai, Rabban go, according to their opinion mentioned elsewhere, that they hold that, to the contrary, you're going to be exempt for the 7 days of sukkahs, because Dharma, they say, Sukkah diris aroi binan, that to the contrary, a sukkah has to be a temporary dwelling. It cannot be higher than 20 amas, which will then have to be in this firmly established building. And therefore, v'loi mechayiv mezuzah, that's why they say a sukkah is not chayiv mezuzah, because it's not a bayis. It's only a temporary abode. Now, v'lishka tem l'chud. The lishka's behedrin, which, although it seems a contradictory to both opinions, it's because lishka is a different sugya. And that is, Rabbanan, that hold in that case, actually the opposite of sukkah, that there you're going to be chayiv for the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is there in the Lishkas Behedrin, because Savri, they hold, dira bal karcha shma dira. A forced dwelling is considered a dwelling. So although the Kohen Gadol has to be there, but still it's considered an apartment, and he's there, and therefore he's mechayiv in mezuzah, because it's a regular based dira. Rabbi Yehuda, and although there for those 7 days, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the opposite of what he holds by sukkah, although by sukkah he holds yuchayv mid'oraisa, and here he's going to hold your pata mid'oraisa, is because savadir balkarcha lo yishmadir, that's because, for a different reason. Because since the kohen has to be there, and he doesn't necessarily want to be there, it's balkarchai, and therefore that's not considered a dwelling, and that's why yinakin mechuyiv in mezuzah. And rather, it's like Rabbi Yehuda himself said, it's only rabbinically that they instituted it. And the reason was, that they shouldn't say the Kohen Gadol is locked in jail for those 7 days. So they put up a mezuzah to say, oh, it's an apartment. He's not locked up. You don't put a mezuzah on something that's not an apartment. And that's why you put it up. But essentially, the Raisa, one would be put, and therefore that's the Pshat of Rava, different than the Pshat of Rabaya and Rabba. And he says that although it seems like a contradiction, it's not, because each one has its own different reasonings apply to them. Now, to conclude, the Gemara says, "Man Tana lahad etan Rabban." Who is a Tana of the following Brayso? And continuing on top of Yod Aleph Amud Aleph, says that "Kol Hashaar M'Shahayusham." All the gates that were there from the gates of the Azar of the courtyard, lahay lehem mezuzah. None of the gates had a mezuzah. Chutz M'Shar Nikuner, except for the gate of Nikuner. Shalefnim Mimeno Lishkas Behedrin, because from within that gate one went into the Parhedrin chamber. And since the Behedrin chamber itself required a mezuzah, as the halachas with a bias, the shah that opens up into that bias is also mechayiv in the mezuzah. So that the Gemara wants to say, Leim Rabbanahi v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. We should say that that Bryce is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yehuda. and the E Rabbi Yehuda, because if it would be going like Rabbi Yehuda, although everyone agrees that yes, Lishka Sephardim requires a mezuzah, but for different reasonings. That we have the opinion of Rabban to hold that Tzchai Midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, that you put him Midaraisa, it's only rabbinic, so that it shouldn't look like he's locked up in jail. Now, if it's like Rabbanan, very well understood. Just like any bias, which they're considering a full-fledged Beis Dira, requires a mezuzah. It's Shar, the gate that opens up into the area of that house, requires a mezuzah too. But the Rabbi Yehuda, if it was like Rabbi Yehuda, he goof with Gzeira, to putting on the mezuzah on the Lishkas Perhedin itself is a rabbinic decree in the first place. So it shouldn't look like he's in jail. And we're going to make a decree for a decree. And that is, it's a klal that the Gemara says many places. We don't make one decree to then safeguard another decree. And that is, if the Perhedin itself is just a gzera, now putting up a mezuzah on the shar would just be a safeguard for that one. And therefore, we're not going to make a gzera for a gzera. But the Gemara answers, our fellow Tamar Yehudi could say that this brisa that requires putting up a mezuzah even on the shar nikonar is going even like a Yehuda, because kulo chad gzera. It's essentially all one gzera. And that is because if the whole purpose was that people shouldn't say he's in the jail because they can look around, oh, there's a mezuzah, or he's in the apartment. But wait a second, look at the shar. The shar doesn't have a mezuzah. Wait a second. We know that an apartment requires the gate that opens up into that area has to have a mezuzah itself. If that won't have a mezuzah, then people will know that that's not really an apartment. They're going to say he's in jail. That's why it's all one gzera. It's not really a gzera for a gzera. And that's why even according to Yehuda, one would require to have a mezuzah on the shar nikonah.